Okay. Our next presenter is Barbara Baquero. Barbara is a doctoral student in the Joint Doctoral Program in Behavioral Science at San Diego State University, University of California at San Diego. She also has an MPH degree in health promotion from San Diego State University, and she's going to talk to us today about working with tiendas to promote healthy eating.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Today I'll be talking about Vida Sana, Hoy Mañana, Healthy Life, Today and Tomorrow. How do you move this? Okay. No relationships to disclose other than this is Dr. Lajala baby project and just doing the work of telling you what we did. I'll be describing the innovative strategies to promote healthy eating among Latino immigrants, the implementation of the food marketing and environmental change intervention in small grocery stores, and presenting the results and our lessons learned. Try again. It's not working. So, we know that it's a limited amount of evidence on the effects of customers, this type of interventions on customer dietary changes. Most of the interventions that have been done in this type of setting have used point of purchase or informational strategies to reach the customers. And most of the results are short term, and sometimes it's just knowledge and awareness of the increasing fruits and vegetables. Furthermore, we know that very few studies have actually attempted to make structural changes at the grocery stores to create dietary changes. Yes. We also know that Latinos eat more fruits and vegetables than other minorities, but we also know that acculturation and the acculturation process has an effect on dietary intake. In a recent review of the literature that we completed in our group, we were able to establish that more acculturated individuals have a lower intake of fruits and vegetables than less acculturated individuals. And also acculturation process have an effect on eating habits and shopping behavior. So Vida Sana Hoy Mañana is set to test the efficacy of this fruit marketing and environmental change intervention to promote the sales and consumption of fruits and vegetables. And our primary outcome was the increase of fruits and vegetables among a set of customers that we sample at the stores. This is the intervention design. If you click again, it's a randomized control trial with a treatment delay condition, and today I'll be presenting the baseline and immediate post-intervention results. The way that we recruited four stores that were pair matched on key characteristics. Those stores were randomly assigned to one of the two conditions. The stores needed to be sell fruits and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, of course, be in business for at least a year, have a butcher section and ready-to-eat food section, or possibly the capability to do so. All stores and activities were implemented in North Carolina, so this project was based in North Carolina. For a measurement cohort, we set to recruit 40 customers in each of the stores, and some of the inclusion criteria were that they needed to be older than 18 years old, visit the store at least once a week, so they could receive the intervention, and eat less than at least 8 servings of fruits and vegetables. Our recruitment rates were between 22 and 33%. We completed baseline and immediate post-intervention about 3 months apart. And the interviews were completed by bilingual bicultural research assistants. At baseline, we completed the interviews face-to-face at the store, and a post-intervention were at the store or by phone. Our main outcome was number of daily servings of fruits and vegetables measured by the NCI Fruit and Vegetable Screener. We also measure variety of fruits and vegetables in the past month, behavioral strategies to increase fiber in the past month, some psychosocial variables, and the quality of stores and the attributes of the stores based on the customer's report. The intervention was based on the socio-ecological model, which suggested that behavior is a function of the larger context. And in addition, the social ecological theory help us to understand also that behavior is a function of the conditions, the environment, and the processes and those interactions. The overview and intervention. So the objective of Vida Sana Hoy Mañana was to build the capacity at the store to promote the sales of fruits and vegetables. And we did that by creating three components of our intervention. We were training, structural changes at the store, and a food marketing campaign. Our direct, the cohort that we recruited to be in the study did not receive any direct materials from our part. The intervention group never contacted them to ask them to participate in any activities. All the activities were implemented at the store level, and we were hoping that all customers, including them, will receive the information. All activities were done in Spanish, and like I said before, the implementation was done at the stores. So the trainings. We developed two set of trainings, one for managers and one for employees. And both trainings were, each session of the training was designed to last between 30 and 45 minutes and were implemented by Dr. Ayala and myself. And I want to point out the part about the Food Marketing Institute. We use videos that the Food Marketing Institute have developed on related to business and how to increase merchandise and sales of fruits and vegetables. So merchandising for profit we use for the managers, and then the power of customer service with the employees. And also to point out here that, for example, for the training that the video that we use with the employees, they that was dubbed in Spanish, but it was an English-based DVD, so sometimes it was kind of difficult for them to understand, and it wasn't exactly the kind of stores that they work at. For the structural change, we allocated $1,000 for each store, and we work with the stores to develop some ideas of how to change the structural environment. And this is actually the equipment that the store decided to buy, the intervention stores. And what we wanted was a material or changes at the store that can promote fresh fruits and vegetables, displays of fruits and vegetables. And after they received the equipment, we worked with them to develop ideas or new strategies to offer fresh fruits and vegetables. And that was the pronto packs we can see here. So clients or customers can go through this new equipment, grab the food and vegetable, and take them with them for lunch or something. The food marketing campaign was an 8-week campaign, and we had two intervention specialists implementing all the activities. We developed 8 recipes with food that are commonly prepared by Latinos, but we enhanced them by having more fruits and vegetables and less fat. We also had pointer purchases materials around the store and suggested selling. So these were cards that we used with the employees so they can also help us to promote the fruits and vegetables at the store. And to wrap all these different components together, we had a radio novella, which is like an audio soap opera that depicts the story of the immigration in North Carolina. And we call the Frutas y Verduras Sin Frontera, which is fruits and vegetables without borders. And we have some of our actors here today. Some of the results. You can see here that we have customers, employees, and managers. We collected data with all these groups. But in general, we realized that our customers are younger, recent immigrants to North Carolina, with a low education and low income. Very similar to employees, but a little bit different than managers. But very different to the communities that we work with here in California. This is our main outcome, and we found a significant difference in the intervention group after a follow-up of almost one serving of fruits and vegetables per day. So for self-efficacy, we also had a significant finding for self-efficacy on fruits. However, this was in the opposite direction than expected. So we are looking further into these results to understand better why was this the situation. We didn't find any significance on self-efficacy for vegetables. No significant changes were found in some of our secondary outcomes, such as fruit and vegetables in the past months, barriers, or social support. They were in the expected direction, and we see a positive trend, but there wasn't enough change to be significant in this case. the store rating. So we have these different attributes to the store, and we created a mean score of a 3-point scale, the higher the better. And we also see a positive trend on the perception of the customers on the store based on a customer service and the cleanliness of the store, but that trend wasn't significant at this point. So to conclude, we think environmental changes and structural changes have a potential, and we can show some evidence in with VidaSana to promote customers' intake of fruits and vegetables, to increase customer intakes of fruits and vegetables. We really work very close with managers and employees to really implement the intervention and build the capacity at the store level so they can continue doing this work. We also recognize that maybe behavioral strategies and the psychosocial correlates may take longer or a different set of tools and strategies in order to make an effect at this point. Thank you. Some of the lessons learned, recruitment and follow-up is possible at this setting and this type of method, but we also recognize that perhaps we should look into more effective, other effective methods to follow up customers at a grocery store setting. Environmental changes may take longer, and we demonstrated that with VidaSana, where it took us a while for us to get the equipment at the stores and more than 8 weeks to actually implement it, promote it, start using it. So we recognize that we need a longer period of time for that, for the employees to be more comfortable about using this new set of equipment that they have at the store. It's very important also that all these strategies are being... It's timed, I think. So it's very important, too, that we can translate the information and the activities that we wanted to do with the manager and employees in terms of, like, their bottom line. So how much is this going to cost me, and how much am I going to increase my sales? So we always have to talk about in terms of, like, this is going to increase the sales, we're going to get more food traffic. So they were very engaged in the process. And again, working with customer, manager, and employees, and adding the environmental change, I think is the right formula in these type of settings anyways. We recognize the limitations of our study. It was a small sample of customers, also of only 4 stores. Our timeline, it was short. It's about 12 months between all the activities that we completed in the stores. The convenience of the sample, so we recruited any customer that met the eligibility criteria that came to the store. Some of the contextual issues, because this is a grocery store intervention, managers are very affected by how much they make every day and how many customers they come to the store. So those are things that we need to be aware. And we also recognize the data collection varied. The methods that we use varied between pre and baseline and post-intervention. Where we would like to take VidaSana, we would like to do it in a larger sample stores, if possible, develop our own culturally and contextual trainings that are relevant to these type of stores, where we have managers and employees that look like the managers and employees that we're working with, maybe in a Latino grocery store. Continue developing the measurement methods at the food environment level. Looking for other settings, too, where we can reach Latino immigrants, and definitely strongly believe that this kind of intervention has the potential for dissemination and sustainability. The idea that we can create a toolkit, that we incorporate it, and for example, working with the Food Market Institute to make a part of the type of training that they can provide. Well, and thank you. So some other characters that we use for our food marketing. Thank you. Good question. Well, one, we would like to do it here in California.
Repeat the question.
Where we would like to do the next set of interventions in grocery stores. And one of the projects is that we can do it here in California and do it in more stores. We have, at part of the San Diego State and in our center, we have a set of grocery stores that we were working with in other projects. So hopefully, and also maybe bigger stores too. But here in California. I would love to go back to North Carolina, but it's a long trip. Good question. I had it on the slides. Between 65 and 67%. So our aim and baseline, we recruited a total of 179 individuals, customers, and post-intervention, we were able to interview 120 of them again, so across all the stores. There's another question here. So bottom line, sales, for example, fruits and vegetables. Ideally, at the beginning, we wanted to have actual sales data. So after, that was one of the criteria that we recruited the stores based on, so that they have the capability of scanning or some sort of system where they knew the sales, right? But, and we wanted to get a specific amount of how many, you know, how much tomatoes they sold every day so we can calculate that. But that was very difficult for some of the stores. So what we ended up working with, to answer your question, is we got the inventories, they get receipts from the distributors, and all the stores have one or two distributors that, you know, brought the fruits and vegetables once a week or something like that. So we were able to go through those and receive just how much they've been buying. And so we're still working with that data, but we have some evidence that in the periods that we were there doing the intervention, they were buying some more fruits and vegetables. And we also were working with them to increase that. So, for example, the week that we were promoting broccoli, for example, we then asked them to buy more broccoli. So, we'll help them to sell it. So, we have that evidence too in there. I think it's one question over there. No. No, the simple question is no. We recognize that, and I don't know if Suchi wants to add some to that, but we recognize that, and that's kind of the next steps that we need to take. How do we actually gather that data? And very qualitatively, I met with the managers, we met with them, we talked about those things, and I collected information, you know, from the newspapers and things like that, but nothing that we can add to the data analysis at this point. I don't know if you...
Are you referring at the customer or at the store level?
Well, I guess you could get it at both levels. You could get a percent of purchases that are purchases with food stamps or big coupons, but I was thinking at a store level, at an individual level, did you ask people any questions about food security? Or
yes, we did. Yeah. So we have the... We asked them, well, at the customer level, at the individual level, we asked them about if they were enrolled in any of these programs, like food stamps, or to receive any food assistance, basically. And we also have a set of questions on food security, which actually I think is USDA, food security set of questions. So we have the data, but, you know, because of the time that we had, we don't have it here, but we can add that information, yes.
The other thing we also asked was how much they spent on fruits and vegetables to determine mm-hmm. whether they're spending maybe more, which may not be sustainable from an individual or family perspective. So we haven't looked at that data yet.
Was there a decrease, or did you track it either by individual, family, or store sales of other products that were maybe perceived as not healthy? Was there a trade-off, I guess, as well?
We didn't, no. We don't have that at this point. But it's, I mean, something that we would like to do, but, you know, this is a pilot study, and we're looking for also the capability of the store. Like I was saying, it's very hard for them to actually discriminate between, you know, what they sell here and there. There was another question here.
Any records for purchases and the fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. weekly purchases, any records on what was thrown away?
No. So that is a good question, though. We also learned that we don't have records of that, but all the stores have most of the stores have the capability of ready-to-eat food. So they have sort of like a small restaurant, have meals that they're selling. So we work with them so to learn that, you know, buy more fruits and vegetables, not to worry about it because they can use it at the restaurant and decrease the waste. Because they were worried about the waste of buying more fruits and vegetables that they knew can sell, but also working with them to prepare the ready-to-eat pack and adding more fruits and vegetables to their recipes at the restaurant, we decrease the waste, and we work with them on that. Yeah, so very exciting. And, you know, we ran out of time with the project, but they were ready to continue doing this work. So it's a great possibility for continuing it. The set of questions that we use for self-efficacy, that's the question, right? We adapted a measure on self-efficacy and basis on more on the constructs, the experience that we had at the center. And we have an adequate reliability on the scales when we tested that. So it's a set of questions about how they feel like they can add more fruits and vegetables, they can eat it at breakfast or lunch, but it was developed for this study in general. Yeah, we need to.
We've thought about that.
Yeah, find different measures. I think we need to move away maybe from the traditional measures of, you know, psychosocial for these type of interventions at least. Thank you.